Reserve Bank of Australia has raised interest rates by 0.25% for the second month in a row, despite many economists and financial markets expecting borrowers to get a reprieve this month. The official cash rate is now 4.1%, a level not seen since early 2012. Speaking about an hour ago, the Federal Treasurer, Jim Chalmers, acknowledged life for mortgage holders is about to get even harder.
I do expect that there will be a lot of Australians who will find this decision difficult to understand and difficult to cop.
Well, joining me now on RN Drive is Senior Economist at ANZ, Adelaide Timbrell. Welcome to the program, Adelaide.
Thank you.
The Treasurer, Jim Chalmers, said a lot of Australians will struggle to understand the RBA's latest decision. Can you try and explain it to them for us?
Absolutely. So when we think about the cost of living, there's two types of things at the moment that are hurting us. One is that our paychecks are becoming less powerful over time because they're not moving as quickly as the prices we see on grocery shelves and utility bills and all the rest. And the second is that the RBA is increasing the cash rate, which makes interest rates higher for everyone and makes it more expensive to pay down debt. Now, the Reserve Bank's increasing interest rates in order to get inflation back to normal. If it doesn't increase interest rates, what we see is more long-term pain, because although we have right now a temporary painful experience of more expensive debt, we are trading that off for a less long-term painful experience of higher and higher prices.
More normal being between that 2-3% target range of inflation that the RBA is targeted with doing. What's your reaction to this decision? I mean, did the RBA make the right call now? When you look at some of the stats, the economy is seemingly decelerating.
The economy is decelerating, but it's not actually in a very weak spot overall. You know, there's a way that we can say, talk about the economy in a very negative light, which is to say the unemployment rate is rising, household spending is slowing, and economic growth is slowing. But we have to take that into context. The unemployment rate is rising from a 50-year low to very close to a 50-year low, and is still far, far lower than it was even in 2019. Economic activity is decelerating, but from a very strong run-up of 2 years of growth, and household spending is really the same thing. So what we're seeing is, yes, a slowdown and a messy transition period, but the deceleration is what we need, because when economic activity continues to grow as it has recently, that's actually making inflation worse. And it's one thing for us to have a GDP number that's positive or big, but if it means that our groceries are going up more than our paychecks, what's the point? So I think what we really need to think about is the negative impacts of inflation. And that's not just for households, it's also for businesses as well. In the very long term, what we love to see is productivity growth. You know, whether it's computers or infrastructure or education, it means that every hour we spend, we're actually getting more done, which means we can buy more in our hours off. We cannot do that if businesses don't invest. And when businesses look out 3 years and go, I have no idea what anything's going to cost, they're not going to invest. So it's bad for households, bad for businesses. And even though this is painful, it's less painful than the alternative.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about a couple of the reactions. We've heard from the Australian Chamber of Commerce and Industry. They've come out and said that the decision to increase award wages has essentially forced the hand of the Reserve Bank with this increase in the cash rate. Are they right? Or how much of a factor has wages played into this?
I don't think that the minimum wage or award decisions really change the outlook for interest rates. What we've seen is that inflation had actually accelerated before that decision was made, which shows us that the current rate of interest of the cash rate is not enough to actively slow things down as quickly as we need. We're also seeing that the unemployment rate is extremely low, to a point where people are fighting over workers enough that there could be a risk of the cost of doing business going up too quickly. But overall, when we look at all the different things that go into inflation, wages are one, they're not the main one, and they're not the only one. And we can actually see wages go up just as they are now, or even a little bit faster, as long as our productivity goes up with it. the moment our productivity is not going up with it, which is an issue. But as businesses invest more, we should see a more sustainable increase in wages that doesn't contribute as much to inflation.
So if the cash rate isn't at the right rate to tame inflation, and when you take into account the last paragraph in this statement from the RBA saying some further tightening of monetary policy may be required, how far can rates go? What is ANZ's central scenario for rates?
Our central scenario is that there'll be one more rate increase, most likely in August, after the quarterly inflation data comes out, so that the Reserve Bank Board has the freshest, most official data on just how bad price growth really is. And there'll also be some time for them to understand how the latest fixed rate roll-offs are impacting the economy, because there are a lot of borrowers that are still on interest rates on their mortgages that's more similar to 2020 than 2023. That has been going okay so far, but we do think that there'll need to be at least one more hike. We also think the risks are tilted to the upside. That's just a fancy way of saying 4.35 is the central, but 4.6 is more likely than, say, keeping it at 4.1.
Tell me how the Reserve Bank would be viewing housing in light of all of this, given we are seeing an uptick in housing prices and we know that Australians' borrowing rates are exceedingly high when compared to those around the world.
When we look at the housing market, what we're seeing is, as you say, rising housing prices and also a sharpening housing shortage problem. Mm. The Reserve Bank so far has talked a lot about supply as the key issue rather than interest rates for housing costs. A lot of people, for example, think that landlords are able to up the rent because of high interest rates, but it's actually more because of low vacancy rates. If you've got 10 or 20 apartments in an apartment building up for rent, the landlords of those apartment buildings won't be able to up the price no matter what interest rates do, because you've got bargaining power and choice. But because of the housing shortage, people don't have bargaining power and choice. So it's really more about that shortage of housing for renters than it is about interest rates. So we are seeing that because home prices are rising, that tells us, firstly, there are actually a lot of people out there that have enough cash to actually, you know, move that market back up a little bit. And that's a concern for broader inflation, because if they have the ability to do that, then there's a group of people who also have the ability to, you know, wave off price rises of other businesses and allow those businesses to keep pushing prices up. But at the end of the day, housing affordability, while it is a kind of side concern for the Reserve Bank, it's not really the be all and end all for them. Mm. They don't have a specific mandate like they do in New Zealand about housing prices. Mm. So they're more going to be looking at it as an indicator than as a central reason to either raise or not raise rates. Remembering that the higher the interest rate is, the slower housing prices are going to grow. Mm. So if they actually didn't raise rates this month, then we'd see the housing market even a little bit stronger than it will be over the next month.
Senior economist at ANZ, Adelaide Timbrell, is with me here on RN Drive, breaking down the Reserve Bank's decision to increase the cash rate to 4.1%. You mentioned how the RBA will be waiting for that quarterly inflation number, which is a way off. But prior to that, in fact, this week we've got GDP numbers out. They're tomorrow. What are you expecting there? And are they likely to reveal much about labour productivity?
We are expecting a 0.4 percentage point increase in GDP, and we're expecting to see a 1.9% increase in the wages bill. So what that means is we're going to be seeing a bit of a slowdown in productivity, a bit of a the average dollar that goes to labour is not quite giving us as much bang for our buck as we'd like to see over time. And that's going to be a concern for the Reserve Bank. So we're expecting the GDP data to make the Reserve Bank even more likely to raise rates further. One other thing is that we're also from the partials data. So the data that makes up GDP and the clues that we've got so far is that activity in the economy is not super weak. So they don't have to worry too much about killing the economy by raising interest rates, and they can focus on killing inflation instead.
Yeah, just before I let you go, Adelaide, I mean, household consumption is coming off. The RBA's data suggests that 15% of households will be in negative cash flow. We had S&P indicating that mortgage mortgage arrears are rising. And we've seen some graphs about how consumption is coming off each month. Without consumption, you don't drive an economy. So how dire could that get?
Yeah, I think one of the really interesting things about the negative cash flow is that that's 15% of people who have owner-occupier mortgages. And just because you're under negative cash flow does not mean that you cannot pay for the essentials. What it means is that you have to dip into savings week on week or month on month. So we are going to be seeing more of that. We're also going to be seeing more people have to downgrade their lifestyles. That's going to be painful. It's going to hit different people in a different way. The Reserve Bank and interest rates are not necessarily the, you know, the only way, the best way or the fairest way to get inflation down. Mm. They're just the quickest way and the way that's already been set up by the institutions in the public sector. And so we will see economic pain, just not enough to see interest rates cut all that quickly. And for most people, it won't get so bad that they'll have to, say, sell a home.
Senior economist at ANZ Adelaide Timbrell, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.